bastard storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
This is a special time for us, and I want to thank Dale and Jane for having us back on the air and for Frank for producing our show. But it is a special day today, April 3rd, 2020, and this is Finding God in Prison with a great focus on inmate reentry work and alcoholism and substance abuse. Today's show, however, will be designed to help to bring hope and vision for the future to our listening audience out there today, because my friends, we definitely need some hope and vision for the future at this time. So this morning, we want to dedicate our show to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because for all that he did for us, for all that he means to us, okay, this is a dedicated show just for him. And today, my friends, while we're under the tremendous challenge of the worldwide health crisis, we can be confident that our Lord Jesus will pull us through. In the same way that Jesus carried his cross, we too must now carry our cross. But this too shall pass, and the Lord will teach us a valuable lesson about what's truly important in the world today and in our lives. Yes, my friends, this too shall pass. No question about it. When things are bad, remember, it won't always be this way. Take one day at a time. When things are good, remember, it won't always be this way. So enjoy the moment, every moment. Someone once said, it takes a strong soul with real heart to develop smiles out of situations that make us weep. No matter how long it takes, it will get better. Keep on going. Tough situations build strong people in the end. That which doesn't break us will make us stronger. And so, my friends, as we look back in the history of this country, we know there have been many, many events that will try our patience, try our courage, and basically our perseverance. So we go back to the Civil War, my friends, where, you know, so many thousands of people were killed, actually 618,222 deaths took place over the great rivalry between the North and the South. And thank God for Abe Lincoln, because with his help, God brought us through. He pulled us through a great civil war right here in America. And that, my friends, is a great example of what the Lord has done and can do for us. In World War I, 40 million people were killed and over 20 million wounded during the great World War I in the early 1900s. Imagine more than 40 million people. How devastating a situation that must have been. In World War II, more than 75 million people, including 20 million military personnel and 40 million civilians, many of whom died because of deliberate genocide, massacres, mass bombings, disease, and starvation. Can you imagine 40 million people deliberately, intentionally planned to be killed? It was their mission, and God brought us through World War II, and a tremendous example of how devastating things can be. But again, the Lord brings us through everything. In Korea, we had the Korean War, where more than 5 million people in total were killed, including 40,000 Americans. In Vietnam, more than 2 million civilians on both sides, and some 1.1 North Vietnamese and Viet Cong fighters were killed. The U.S. military has estimated that 200,000 to 250,000 South Vietnamese soldiers died in the war. And my brother, Kenneth Montone, was killed in 1967, now buried at Arlington Cemetery for many, many years, over 50 years. And the Lord has brought us through. Time and time again, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, brings us through each and every trial and tribulation. Yes, my brothers and sisters in Christ, God has brought us through so many things. I want you to think back in your own life now, in your own lifetime. What are some of the tough times, the rough times, the sad times or the bad times that God has brought you through? Think about it. Because we have to put things into perspective right now. And we have to remove all fear and bring the peace of God into the hearts and minds of our listeners. And this is our focus for today. Some of us, my friends, have beaten cancer, while others have recovered from a stroke or heart attack. And still others have recovered from the broken heart of losing a loved one. It takes me back to June 4th, 1975, when my grandfather, Angelo Amen, an immigrant from Naples, Italy, a hat maker for 65 years, who died when I was 15 years old in 10th grade in high school. He was a hat maker, wonderful family man, raised four children, you know, owned the residence, and did everything he could do to help the community. And it was a tough time when he died, June 4th, 1975. But again, the Lord brought us through. He brought our family through that difficult time. Losing a loved one is not easy, never easy, no matter who it is. But we have to get through. And with our faith being strong and focused on our Lord and Savior, we too can get through this health crisis right now as a nation and as a world. Some people have conquered addiction or an overdose of drugs, while others have beaten alcoholism. In the WINGS program, we've seen many people who have overdosed and have not beaten drugs. But many have. Many more have. Okay? And no one said it was going to be easy, this thing called life. But my friends, stand strong, for we are in good company with our Lord Jesus. While Jesus lived here on earth, his life was no picnic. In fact, he suffered more than you and I will ever know. And that's our focus for today with the upcoming anniversary of Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. This weekend, Palm Sunday, we'll be talking about the readings that are important to us as a Christian and Catholic population throughout the world. But it was no picnic, and the Lord did suffer. It was the greatest beating in the history of the world, and Jesus took it intentionally just for us. He didn't have to do it. He did it to please his Father in heaven and for all of us. Yes, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ is so powerful an event that world time is set by this one single event. World time. It is the year 2020. And that year is based on the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. Very powerful event. On April 12, 2020, we'll celebrate the anniversary of the resurrection of Jesus. Once again, he will bring us through the rough times, my friends, the tough times, the sad times, and the bad times. And he will pour out the love of God our Father into the hearts and minds of believers throughout the world. Unfortunately, not everyone believes, and so they will not look to the Lord to bring them through. They will look elsewhere. And this is where, you know, we need to continue to educate and to motivate and to bring the love of God to other people, the non-believers, the people who are looking elsewhere. And the Lord is asking us to do it. He calls us to bring our light and let it shine. And that's what we need to do in these tough times right now, because this is a worldwide health crisis, but there have been worse times. And we will get through this as well. This too shall pass, my friends. But what can we learn from this? What lesson is God trying to teach us? Consider this, my friends. What is the value of human being on this earth? What is the value of one human being on this earth? Is there a price on life? The World Health Organization recommends safe and legal abortions be available to all women. Again, the World Health Organization recommends safe and legal abortions be available to all women throughout the world. And if you didn't know it, around 56 million abortions are performed each year throughout the world. About 45% are done unsafely, okay, where women are injured. And is there really a safe abortion? It's kind of like an oxymoron, because the end result is the death of an unborn child. And this is powerful, because the World Health Organization cares about everyone's health except the health of the unborn baby, as they advocate for abortion throughout the world. And throughout the world, again, 56 million abortions every year. Every year. And we need to acknowledge this. You know, what can we learn from this health crisis? There are many things, my friends, we have to learn. And God is teaching us these things today. But think about this. Again, the World Health Organization vision statement is to advocate and catalyze global and country actions to solve the human resources for health crisis, to support the achievement of the health-related Millennium Development Goals and Health for all except the unborn child. This is powerful because, again, you know, God is, he uses everything he has to teach us lessons, to make change. And we have to make that change. Sometimes we're deprived of things. Other times they're taken away. Many times we see, you know, all kinds of losses in our lives, and God is teaching us. And in the Word of God, it says a father has the right to discipline his son, and we will be disciplined if we don't make changes. And we are called today to make change. He is showing us the value of little things that have been taken away, the value of having a job, of having good health, of having clean water, of having food, of having gas in your car and being able to go out and to go to work or go to school, the value of your children going to school each and every day. He is showing us things, my friends, through this health crisis. He is opening our eyes. He is getting rid of the corruption, the deceit, and the elimination of the non-believers. This is important, my friends, because we have to all become, you know, believers in Christ. And this is from the Word of God. And it's very, very important. And I just want to lay that out to you because, again, the abortion issue is very, very close to our hearts. And the Lord says, you know, be fruitful and multiply. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet. He cares about the unborn, and everybody else should as well. Yes, all except the unborn child, my friends. The most dangerous place in the world to be is within a mother's womb. Again, 56 million abortions performed annually in the world. In this world we call home, the planet Earth, the World Health Organization recommends safe and legal abortions. Think about it, my friends. Think about it. It's the truth. Okay. I wanted to upfront move right out out of the gate with that, because life is important, and it should be, you know, something we all cherish, as is the gift of motherhood, which should be put up on a pedestal and protected and defended. Very, very critical, given to women that gift of motherhood, the producer of the gift of life. So in the midst of the health crisis, where we see states now, you know, in fear of things getting worse, we see countries, you know, closing borders and travel restricted, you know, the unborn child has been out there for years at 56 million every year at a loss. And so we want to bring that right out to you so we understand what is God trying to teach us. About 19 years ago, we celebrated, unfortunately, people coming together because of 9/11. More than 2,700 people were killed. Devastating event, and God has brought us through. Just to recap again, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and many other wars throughout the world, 9/11, God has brought us through all of it. The death of your loved ones, my loved ones, it brings me back to my stepfather who died May 6, 1981, a police officer in New York City for 25 years. One of his claim to fame was that he never had to shoot anyone, never had to, you know, kill anyone. In 25 years of carrying a weapon, he was able to get through without taking the life of another person. Very difficult to do because of the situations you get in as an officer. And we know, you know, that this is the truth. However, you know, he was a great man and died at age 71 on May 6, 1981. I'll never forget the day. You know, it was a very sad day. It was a rough time, a tough time. And it was a bad time for the family because we loved our dad. But again, with faith, God brought us through. Now, we never forget that. We celebrate the memories. We celebrate who he was and what he meant to us, the things he taught us, being able to, you know, learn the value of a handshake, the value of a blessing before a meal at the dinner table. Yeah, Dominic Montone was a great man. And he was also challenged with the loss of his son, you know, Kenny, who died in Vietnam in 1967. And so I celebrate this here because he taught me many things about the value of people, the value of family, the value of a work ethic, the value of a blessing before the meal. And these things should be passed on to our children and grandchildren. The value of going to, you know, to church on Sundays and giving honor and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's powerful. These are very, very great memories that, you know, we want to focus on during these crises. We want to focus on the positive, not the negative. And we want to get through. We want to protect our families from the health issues out there today. But there are so many other than, you know, the virus that exists today. So, so many. And we're always trying to protect ourselves from different things. And so, you know, don't lose heart because this too shall pass. Very, very important. And as we move forward in the show, I want to share with you, my friends, that about a week ago during the crisis, got a call from one of our wingsmen, Stephen. He called at midnight to see how my family was doing. A graduate of the Wings program 4 years ago at CFCF took the time to send me photographs and a text at midnight just to see how my family was doing, because he cared. A beautiful thing. He's a graduate of the program, was with me over at CFCF, is now building a strong family. Sent me three pictures of himself and his family together, his baby girl. And you could see the change in the man. You know, you could see that he's now a dedicated individual who provides for his family. One of the great messages in the Wings program, family life, and to give your family, your children, the time that God calls us to give, and not to, delegate that responsibility, or just eliminate it and leave your kids hanging without the love that a father should bring. And Stephen is out there doing it right. And he had some tough times, but the Lord has brought him through things like incarceration. God has brought people through. And I said, addiction and alcoholism, and 50 somewhat percent of the people incarcerated are in there because of drug and alcohol issues, undisciplined ways. And today, through the health crisis, we see the bars closed. We see restaurants even closed for sit down. We see more of a focus forced into staying home and to caring for your loved ones, forced into finding actually the time to pray through television or radio or privately, because the churches are closed because of this virus. However, God will bring us through. Each and every one of us, God will bring us through. You can count on it. How do we know? Well, we just mentioned some of the greatest tragedies through World War I, World War II, the Civil War. Amazing tragedies and things that we can't even comprehend. We've been through, families have been through, like the millions of people who died during World War II intentionally, who were taken deliberately. It was the mission in Europe to take those people down because of who they were. And that's not God's ways, my friends. But thank God for the countries who stood up to get us through, because it wasn't easy. And the soldiers had to go through a great deal to make it happen. Young guys flying, aircraft across the ocean between 18 and 24 years old. Young guys had to do it. They stood up strong, and they defended, freedom. They defended life. And thank God they did, because we would have a whole different world today if they didn't. And that was World War II way back when. My friends, I put that out there to you because it's important. As we close out the first half of our show, my friends, I want to just take a moment to regroup and tell you, you're listening to Joe Montone here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. This is 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here on the air with our listening audience. And we'll be back here with you in just a moment. Thank you.
You want to learn how to live out your faith in the culture? Then listen to Walking in Faith, a show that brings you news, interviews, and reviews that better helps you to live out your Catholic faith in the culture. Please join your host, Barbara Schinkel, as she also brings you events happening at your local parish. This show airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. with encores on Saturdays at 11 a.m. right here on Holy Spirit Radio on 1570 in Doylestown and 1420 in Coatesville. That is Walking in Faith every Thursday at 4 p.m. with encores on Saturdays at 11 a.m.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
To the Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever.
Okay, my friends, it's Joe Montone back with you again for the second half of Finding God in Prison. And by the way, during the health crisis, unfortunately, the Wings program has to be done in different ways. We cannot penetrate the Philadelphia prison system because of the threat to good health for the inmates. And so there have been a lot of restrictions. However, we look forward to the Lord pulling us through once again and getting kickstarted back. We had just finished our graduation in mid-March, and recently we've had the closure of the facilities due to the virus. But I want to focus now on the upcoming readings for this weekend, Palm Sunday, which is such a beautiful time of the year, because we know that, although it's a tough season to get through, once we get through, we see that the Lord is victorious in the resurrection. It's very powerful. And I want to start off with our first reading that comes from Isaiah 50, 4 through 7. And here it is. The Lord has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear. And I have not rebelled. I have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the reading today, Isaiah 50, 4 through 7, this is a powerful reading, because we're here at Holy Spirit Radio trying to, speak to the weary, the people who are down and out, possibly because of depression, anxiety, fears, loss of a job, loss of a loved one. We're trying to give them a word that will rouse them. And for 20 years, Holy Spirit Radio has been here doing that. Through the Holy Spirit, we speak the word of God to rouse people, to empower the spirit from within, to give them hope and vision into the future. Morning after morning, he opens my ears that I will hear. What is it that the Lord is telling us? What he is telling us, to not turn back to the past, to gain wisdom, to not make the same mistake over and over and over again. A great message in our WINGS program for the men who've been incarcerated many times. Guys with up to 72 arrests, making the same mistake over and over, turning back. Was telling us not to do that, not turn back, and to move forward. And with that, we also are looking at, those people in depression. What can you do to get out of depression? There's so much of it today because people are fearful that they're going to get a virus that was out there in different ways. Many viruses have always been out there. Flu bugs and all kinds of things. Last year, 8,000 people died of the flu that we normally fight. And so, I just say that because we've got to, help those people in depression by feeding them spiritually, mentally, physically, and helping them to move forward. But every day that has to be done. So here at Holy Spirit Radio, we work hard as an affiliate station of EWTN to give that motivation, that insight to the faith, the word of God, which is the Lord himself, to place that into the heart and mind of another person is a powerful antidote to depression. The Lord will lift us out of depression and give us hope and vision for another day. He will give us the way out when there's no way out. One door closes, another window opens. The Lord always makes a way for life because he is the producer of life. He calls us to be fruitful and produce life, not to take life away. One of the great commandments, do not kill. Very powerful. And so, what we do here is very important. And so the prophet Isaiah gives us, the opportunity here to understand that the Lord has given me a well-trained tongue and to use it in a very, very good way. in the Psalms today, the Lord is talking about Psalm 22. And very often, you know, the Psalms are not always discussed in an extensive way. But here I want to bring something out, because Psalm 22 says, my God, why have you abandoned me? When we feel God is not there, my friends, we experience the Lord, what the Lord has experienced. At the top of the cross, after the events that led him to the cross, the Lord says, you know, my God, why have you abandoned me? People in the world today are saying that. They don't feel that godly presence. They don't see God, but he is there, very close. When we feel God is not there, and we experience what the Lord has experienced, we're in good company, because God is always there. And I want to just bring that out. It's a very important phraseology within the Bible, because God is always there, and he will never abandon us. And he is there yesterday, today, and forever. Now, people will disappoint you, so we've got to get our priorities straight, making sure that God is number one. Now, if God is last, and you're looking to God last all the time, you know, you're not giving him the reverence that he is due as the creator of life, the creator of the world, of all mankind, the Lord and Savior who can bring the sun up every day and make the sun set every day. So we need to take a look at our priorities. While we have time now, if you're in your home and you have time now, think about this. How much time are we given our faith, our Lord, our God, each and every day? Minutes? Hours? How much time in a month? Think about it. What's more important, your hobbies, your sports, shopping, or your faith? What is more important, your work or your faith? Think about it. We need to get our priorities straight. In the Wings program, we talk heavily about that, because it's God first, and then you. All good things come from God, so we line up. And that's important. I've got to learn that I'm number two, and God is number one. And there's no compromise on that. He is, you know, not just verbally, but in action. Actions speak louder than words. So in the day-to-day of life, we've got to give God more time. If we want God to really, you know, respond to us, if we're given him minutes or less in a day or week, he's last, my friends, because we've got a lot of time in a week. We've got to give him more time, quality time, showing him deep respect and reverence. He's calling us to do it, and he's actually created an environment where we can do it now, and he's calling us to do it, all right? And this is a very, very important message in the Wings program as well, trying to get men onto the, you know, onto the program where we have faith spiritually, mentally, physically. We're feeding ourselves in three different ways every day, but where faith is number one, and then me, and then my family, and then my work, and then my community service, and then hobbies and sports. Because the stronger I am, the more I can do for my family. The weaker I am, the less I can do for my family. I need to be strong and powerful, and that strength comes from the Lord, right? And so the more, you know, the stronger I am, the more I can do for my community. And we are called to do it. The Lord says, whatever you've done for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And for whatever you did not do, Joe Montone, you didn't do it for me. So he's calling us to do it. But when you go out and do it, first take care of your responsibilities to God. Give him the respect, the reverence due. And then you'll have the equipment, and you'll be equipped to do what you need to do for your family, for your children and grandchildren. for the community and for your employer. Very, very important message in the WINGS program. As we move through, my friends, to our second reading, which is from Philippians. Philippians 2, 6 through 11. Very, very important. And here it is. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The word of the Lord. And in this reading, my friends, there is so much here that we need to just take a look at. Number one, there are people out there who want to be God. They want to be first. And that's just not going to happen. God needs to be first. And we have to be, you know, obedient to God. We've got to be number two. And there are men and women who have that ego that I want to be first. I want to be in control. And this is important. It's a great message. And, you know, many years ago when I was an airline captain, I had to take off that captain's hat. God was calling me to put that captain's hat down and to be number two. He's now the captain. I'm the co-pilot. Who am I following? I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had to learn that because of ego and pride and all kinds of things that are out there that, you know, get in the way of God being first in our lives. It's an important message, and we can't put it on the back burner. God is calling us to do it now. There are so many people out there who are making everything and anything more important than God, more important than time for God. It could be just aesthetic things, material things, you know, all kinds of things, from homes and cars and vacations. We've got to keep God in the midst of everything, and he calls us to do it. The Lord himself did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. He was obedient to the Father. So he has a divine side and a human side. And he empties himself, taking the form of a slave. He calls us to be a servant. To serve God is something that he wants us to do in his way, with the gifts that he gave you. So many people have beautiful gifts, the gifts of hospitality, the gift of preaching and teaching, the gift of confessing, the gift of motherhood and fatherhood. Some are called to the married life, some are called to the single life, and some are called to the religious life. Whatever the calling is, it's where he has put you. And you have gifts, because God doesn't give us more than we can handle. With those gifts, you will handle being a grandfather to your grandchildren, being a grandmother, because you're compassionate and loving. Some people don't have that ability to take care of children. They just are not called to it in the home, but maybe they're called in the school to take care of 750 kids as a school principal, like my sister for 42 years, who never married. Powerful career as a teacher, 28 years, and principal for the rest of her career. 42 years to a school district as a single woman gave her life to truly taking care of other people's kids, to educate them. A beautiful thing. So God will give you those gifts, but he does call us to be a servant. Whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. What did you do for your wife today, your husband, your children? What do you do for your parents, your grandparents, your neighbors? What can you do? The Lord is like a role model for us in so many ways. And here, he took on, you know, the form of a slave, but coming in human likeness through the birth of Christ and found in human appearance as a man. We are, God is, you know, man is made in God's image. And he humbles himself. One of the great messages there, the lack of humility amongst men and women in the world today. We want power, prestige, and money. We want to be in control. There are arguments daily regarding, you know, control of this and that through husbands and wives and in offices. We need more humility. With humility, all things are possible. I could say, I love you. I could say, please forgive me. I'm sorry. Very, very important. With no humility, you can't do that. It's important. You can pick up the phone with humility and talk to somebody you haven't talked to in 20 years and make a great conversation. You can send a card across the world. You can send a text across the world or a FaceTime and make things happen, but it takes humility. Or you can go the other way. Well, I'm not calling him until he calls me. God teaches us humility at the top of the cross when he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Very important message, the spirit of forgiveness takes humility. And the Lord humbled himself, becoming obedient to death on the cross. And because he did what he did, God exalts him, and he makes him, you know, powerful, makes him the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And it's an incredible thing that at the name of Jesus, something that Satan doesn't like, the name of Jesus, he doesn't like, every knee shall bend. Every knee shall bend. Let's keep that habit of getting on our knees, my friends, and saying our prayers, having a childlike faith, being a role model in a childlike way for your kids and grandkids. Don't wait till the really tough times when, you know, we were in the hospital in very bad situations. Don't wait. Do it now. Show God that when you're in a good time, you can get on your knees and pray. Don't wait, okay? Become the role model that he calls us to do. Every knee shall bend at the name of Jesus. Of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that's everyone, my friends, everyone. Everyone will get on their knees for the Lord. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. So in tough times and good times, it's the same. God is calling the unbelievers, the non-believers, to that calling, to say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, to the glory of God the Father. He is calling us to make that happen. And this is very, very important message, you know, that God is calling us to humility, to get on our knees and to show our children and grandchildren and our neighbors exactly what we need to do. Because we call to a childlike faith. No one comes into the kingdom of God unless he has the faith of a child. And this is the calling. I want to shift gears, my friend, and move into the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is coming up here this Sunday, Palm Sunday, Gospel of Matthew 26 and 27, which is a very, very long gospel. So I want to take just a piece of it and share it with you in our last 10 minutes, because we've only got so much time here in the air, and we've got about 10 minutes to go in the show. And I want to thank you for listening today also, and I hope you've gotten something out of it. I want you to know that it is a privilege and a pleasure to be here to share the Word of God with you in preparation for the resurrection of Christ, to kind of look at and focus in on the tough times that the Lord went through, the agony in the garden, the scourging at the pillar, the crowning of Jesus with thorns, the carrying of the cross and the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, Peter's denial of Jesus. These are tough things, sad times, bad times, rough times, and tough times for the Lord. And his Father brought him through. And he did it intentionally, all for us, so we can have salvation, eternal life. He did it for us. I want to focus on the agony of Jesus in the garden, the first sorrowful mystery here in Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me." He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But not as I will, but as you will." When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter, "So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Withdrawing a second time, he prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, your will be done." Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up. Let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand." Very important segment in the gospel this weekend, because the Lord prayed to the Father, because he knew what he was up against. He could see in the agony of the garden what he was going to go through. And he prayed for the Father to take the cup. "But if it's not possible, I will do your will. Let it be done to me." A powerful, powerful phraseology that truly is given to us through the Father and the Holy Spirit and our Lord at a time when it's needed most. And here the Lord needs it most. And he says, "Let your will be done." Like our Blessed Mother in the Gospel of Luke, who was visited by the angel Gabriel, who said, "Your will be done. Let it be done to me according to your will." This is important, because we too are called, my friends, to the tough times, the rough times, and the sad times and the bad times. And God will bring us through. Here in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see that the Lord did this for us intentionally, in conversation with the Father, through prayer, did it for us intentionally so that we can have eternal life. Only the beginning of the process, the agony in the garden where the Lord can, you know, goes to pray. And this is important. As we go forward, we see that, you know, the Lord is also scourged at the pillar. And in the scourging at the pillar, you know, it's the greatest beating of all mankind. The Lord was beaten to a pulp, and no man could have gotten through this. The Lord's, you know, divine side carried truly his physical human side through this, and then took him, you know, to the next step, you know, where he was crowned with thorns, where those thorns penetrated his scalp. A very sad time, a tough time, a real time. And the Blessed Mother was there to witness her son to go through it all. And let's not forget that Our Lady, Mother Mary, the Queen of Heaven and Earth, truly was there to watch her son go through it all. And as he, you know, prepares for the next step in the carrying of the cross, who could have done it, my friends? Carrying, you know, a tree to his death and up Calvary Hill. He falls three times and needs the help of Simon, a Cyrenian, to help him. Even the Lord needed help. He called, you know, to the heart of another human being who saw him struggle. He stepped up to the plate during the toughest time for our Lord, and he helped him to carry that cross. Who are you and I helping to carry their crosses today, my friends? Or is it all about me? Is it all about me? Whose cross are we carrying? Our children's, our parents, our friends, our neighbors. Who is it that needs help, my friends? Because the Lord is calling us to it. And he's the role model showing us that there are going to be times in life where you're going to need help, and there'll be times in life when you're going to give help. And as he carries his cross, again, he falls three times, but he gets up because he's a finisher. How do we know he's a finisher? Because at the top of the cross, he says, "It is finished." He didn't stop short. He finished the deal, the mission that he was called to do. From the agony in the garden, to the scourging at the pillar, the crowning with thorns, the carrying of the cross, falling three times, and then, of course, getting nailed to the cross. And his hands and his feet, the Lord suffered a great pain, great wound, you know, where he can count all his bones. And that's in the Word of God. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. Imagine the pain that he endured. But he is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is a finisher. And at the top of the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Taking his last breath, he puts his head down, and he dies as we celebrate Good Friday at 3 p.m. where the Lord's death is recognized. But we know in 3 days that the Lord will rise from the dead. Very powerful event. So powerful an event, the resurrection of Christ, that world time again is set on the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, because many people have died in the history of the world, but only the Lord has the power over death. Only the Lord has risen and can rise upon his word and his Father and the Holy Spirit together in the Trinity, make this beautiful anniversary of the resurrection of Christ real for us. Year in and year out, we celebrate it because it's important. It's not just in word, but it's in action. My friends, you and I need to get down on our knees and pray more. We need to recognize the word Jesus more often. We need to bring the love of God into the hearts and minds of people everywhere. And God is calling us to do it. There's no time like the present to get started. And if you are down and out, my friends, I hope that this show today has proven to you that with the love of God, the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, all things are possible. And this is the message of today. Don't focus on the past. It doesn't matter where we've been. What matters is where we're going. And we know that the Lord has brought us through. So the focus for today's show is that this too shall pass. And we have seen and recognized many, many events that have taken tens of millions of lives intentionally. And the Lord has brought us through, because all good things come from the Lord. He empowers us, he prepares us, and he never gives us any job that is too tough to handle. But we must do it as a team, because of strength in numbers. The apostles went out two by two to lift each other up in those tough times and rough times, sad times and bad times. And we too have to lift each other up. My friends, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for listening to our show today. I hope you got the message. And remember, our show was dedicated today to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who does it all for us. Let's together put him first, make him number one in our lives, not just in word, but in action. Let's do it today and not put it on the back burner. I want to thank Dale and Jane for having me back on the air today, and for Frank for producing our show. It's been a privilege and a pleasure. My name is Joe Montone, your host here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. May God bless you and keep you safe and healthy, and may you have a wonderful and happy Resurrection Day and Easter Sunday. All blessings and peace to you, my friends. God bless.